May 9th, 1997 by John K. Smith of Lehigh University. Okay, Dr. Spanagel, first, let's just talk a little bit about your early origins, where you were born and when you were born and your family, what kind of family you came from.
All right. I was born in 1905 in a small dairy farm on the east side of the Horican Marsh in Wisconsin.
What marsh was that?
Horican, H-O-R-I-C-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
That's the headwater of the Rock River, which ultimately runs into the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 7 years old, we moved to a small town, Waupun, Wisconsin, which is on the east side of the same marsh. My family finally consisted of one older sister and two younger brothers. My father died when I was 14 years old. And
still farming?
No, we were in Waupun at that time. And unfortunately left my mother with four small children from 14 to 2 years old. And not much money. So we were not a wealthy family. My schooling started actually on the farm. I went to a one grade, one class, one room schoolhouse, one teacher for all grades, if all the children came, or any. Some grades had no children, and some had one, some had two. My first school in Waupun was a two-room schoolhouse, had two floors, the bottom floor and the upper floor. The bottom floor took the first and second grade, and the second floor was the third and fourth grade. There was one teacher in each room. Beyond that, we usually had one teacher for one grade. I finally graduated from Waupun High School in 1924, and then went to Lawrence College. At that time, it's now Lawrence University, and was there from 1924 to 1928, and stayed on for 2 years in the chemistry department, mostly handling the laboratory, teaching laboratories in the school for the department. Then I went to McGill University.
Well, let's just back up. I want to ask just a few questions about this.
Okay.
How did you get, you weren't a chemist as an undergraduate?
No. You mean where?
At Lawrence. What did you study at Lawrence? And how did you end up going to college?
I was the first one of our whole relationship. My mother's had a sister and a brother, and they had children, and my father had sisters and brothers, and they had children. None of them ever went to college. Now, when I went to Waupun High School, I was getting pretty fair grades. As a matter of fact, I was salutatorian, which was second in class. And my teachers, of course, encouraged me very much to go to school, but I said, how could I do it? Well, because mother could not send me. Now, what happened while I was going to high school, even before going to high school, being situated as we were money-wise, we took any job we could get. And, I mowed lawns for two widows for many years, 25 cents for one lawn, 35 cents for the other. But we did it. The last 2 years in high school, I worked before and after school in a grocery store. All of Wednesday nights and Saturday nights, Saturday all day, it's all night, and until 11 o'clock or so when farmers stopped coming in. And got paid for that. Not very much, but got paid. All this money I was putting in the bank pretty much because I didn't spend much. Well, at that time, we didn't have it to spend anyway. But by the time I got through high school, I had managed to save up about $1,000. So, with the encouragement I got from the teachers, and the fact that at that time there really wasn't much I could do except work in a grocery store or something like that, I decided to try to go to high school, to college, and decided on Lawrence.
Where is Lawrence College?
It's in Appleton, Wisconsin. It's now Lawrence University. And it was rated a good school for Wisconsin and fairly close to Waupun. Now, when I got there, we registered, and the one who I registered was the chemistry professor, Dr. Utes. And
Hughes?
Y-O-U-T-Z.
Oh, Utes.
Utes.
Y-O-U-T-Z.
Yeah. And he asked me what I'd taken in high school, and I said, well, I'd taken physics. The high school didn't offer chemistry. And he said, well, you didn't have any chemistry? And I said, no. He said, well, you ought to take one of your chemistry. So that was one of the first subjects I took. Well, as it turned out, I got a very high mark in chemistry, so the next year I registered and took it again. And took it every year after that, and that became my major. That's how I got started in chemistry.
You didn't have any family interest, or you just discovered it in college?
That's right. Well, no one else had ever gone to college.
Right.
My father had never gone to college. My mother hadn't gone to college. At that time, people just didn't go to college. They were lucky to get through eighth grade. And so I had nobody except teachers to advise me, and they didn't advise me anything except they wanted me very much to go to college too. And so I decided to go, and not without some grumbling from people saying I ought to stay home and try to earn money for my mother. But anyway, I went, and in the first year of my college, I got something like a 93 or 94 grade. So I said I'd take another, try it again. And I kept on and went through the whole 4 years. And I was selected for a member of Phi Beta Kappa in the year, so I had done fairly well in college. And then they offered me a job to stay on and teach for 2 more years.
Well, teaching the chemistry labs?
In the labs, yes. Which I did, but at the end of 2 years I recognized the fact that I couldn't stay there. And at that time there was a lot of discussion about graduate schools, and you could get scholarships to go to them. And we had a new chemistry teacher.
Now, this was 1929?
No, let's see.
Where are we?
we're about 1930 now.
So the Depression has already... The Great Depression has already begun.
Yes, just started.
Right.
Just started. So the possibility of getting jobs is not very good. But with the 2 years in college that I'd worked at the end of it, I'd paid off all the more money I borrowed to go to college and had developed some extra so I could consider graduate school. And so we had a new professor in chemistry that came to Lawrence. He graduated from Harvard, and he came to teach organic chemistry. And this is what I like best anyway, in the chemistry business. And So he wrote to various colleges for me to see if he could get a scholarship for me. Mm-hmm. One of the places he wrote was to McGill University because he knew Dr. Allen, who also was at Harvard the same time he was. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the first place I was offered a scholarship, so I went to McGill University and worked under Dr. Allen.
Did you consider Illinois? I mean, they were the great magnet then in the Midwest with Adams and Marble.
Illinois and Minnesota, mm-hmm. which was Steve's home. Illinois, I didn't get a scholarship. Later, I was offered a scholarship in Minnesota, but I'd already accepted the one at McGill. Mm-hmm. So I went to McGill, and I was fortunate that I had this scholarship, and yet I was able to get a PhD without taking a master's in 3 years and still do the assistants I mm-hmm. had to do. And so when I got through at McGill with my PhD, the question of where to work.
What did you do your dissertation on?
Well, it was on anhydroacetone benzyl. It was I have a paper I can give you, and it will show you what that was all about. We solved the problem. All these problems solved, you know, the things you find out that when you solve a problem, it's pretty obvious when you get through the answer, but somehow you haven't done it before. Well, anyway, it's a fairly long story, and better give you the...
Okay. What was Montreal like in that period when you were there? Was that
Montreal? It was considered, I think, the best school in Canada.
Mm-hmm. But I mean the city. I mean, you came from a small town.
Oh yeah.
Montreal must have been a pretty exotic place.
Well, I didn't think so. It was a bigger city. No question mm-hmm. about that. But I lived very close to the campus at McGill.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I took an overnight train to get there from Wisconsin and just started looking for places to stay. And I ended up in a boarding house where they boarded McGill students. And you could, for a while, you could get meals there too, but most of the time you couldn't. But I got acquainted with the rest of the people that lived in there. Of course, quite a few people at McGill.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Allen was my professor, and I got along very well with him. And when I graduated, I don't know if you want to talk any more about McGill or not. I thought McGill was a good school, but how can I judge? I don't have gone to many other
right. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it is true that at that time, Harvard, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and a few of those places were considered the top place as far as chemistry is concerned, and especially organic chemistry at Illinois
mm-hmm.
and at Harvard. And that's where both Steve Darling and Dr. Allen got their degrees.
At Harvard,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Allen, recognizing the fact when I graduated that I need a job, he knew Wallace Carruthers very well, because Carruthers also came from Harvard.
They had taught together at Harvard.
Yes. I don't know if Allen taught, but he... Carruthers taught at Harvard.
Oh, he might have been one of Carruthers' students?
He might have, but he knew him very well.
Yeah, Carruthers was there from, 26 to 28?
Yeah.
I think he was at Harvard.
Oh, that was just about the time Dr. Allen was getting his degree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he wrote to Carruthers, and Carruthers turned the letter over to Tandberg.
Mm-hmm.
And Tandberg wrote me a letter and asked me to come down for an interview, which I did right after I got my PhD, and came down for an interview, and then back went back to Wisconsin, and in a few days I got a letter offering me a job for $175 a month.
What did you think? When you came down here for the interview, what did you see? Who did you talk to? What?
Dr. Tandberg.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Let's see. Hamilton and Wallace Crothers.
Sarah Hamilton Bradshaw.
Hamilton Bradshaw.
And you talked to Crothers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Crothers was the last one I talked to, and he took me back to the railroad station.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I got the offer and accepted it.
But I want to know, what was your impression of the place? What was your feeling about
I took a taxi out to the experimental station,
mm-hmm.
and went in, and this is a set of buildings, the laboratories and stuff like that. My impression was not from what I saw, but from what I heard. You see, the DuPont and chemistry, mostly from Allen and from various discussions, and I thought it was a good place to do work as far as I could see.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter, at that time there were PhDs walking the streets, and any job that was being offered,
so you weren't being too picky.
You weren't being too picky.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So now, is there anything else you'd like to know about my family? I covered it pretty fast, and you could say a lot of things about it. Was it difficult to go to college? And the answer is yes. And you lived out little as you could use, see.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first year of college I spent $500. I went to a small hotel and got a job waiting on table. I got my food for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got, a few tips, but my food mostly for that. And so then I just had to pay for my room and the tuition. And so if what I did was scrape and scrape to get through the first year, see. And I did that, and by that time I went back and worked summer and made money and put it back and had enough for the second year. See? So it was a year-to-year thing all the time, except towards the end I did borrow some money to go the last year. But I think the last year I only spent something like $1,100. When you consider that against what you have to start a day, you can't hardly start on $10,000 a year. If you have even Delaware, I think it costs you a lot. I don't know what the figure is nowadays. So it was tough, but you got used to doing without. That's what I did. Join a fraternity. It was cheaper to live there than any place else, because they immediately appointed me to work with a cook and getting meals, and I helped serve them, so I got my meals for that. This was after I stopped the last 2 years, mm-hmm. after I stopped working at the hotel. So I got my meals free practically for what I did, practically all 4 years I was in college. And then I had the 2 years afterwards, which I didn't get my meals free, but I was getting paid for that. The truth of the matter is, at that time, nobody was showing a lot of money. You know, everybody was a little bit broke. So a lot of the people I was going to school with were not spending a lot of money either.
Mm-hmm.
So you had other people, so you didn't feel quite as
this
lonely.
This was still in the 20s, though.
This was before
20, the Depression.
Yeah. And now, in 28 or 29, the big Depression started.
The fall of 29,
yeah. Well, so I went to college, and that's from 33 during the Depression, really. And they paid me enough, so actually I just about could make it without borrowing any money to go to graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got through here, I was at graduate school in 1933, about 28 years old, and no money. So I was, I would have accepted, I guess, any job.
Did you explore any other jobs teaching or in with other companies?
I was not too anxious to teach. I put an application in with a number of other companies, and some of them weren't interested. I did get an offer after I accepted the DuPont offer, but of course, once I accepted, I wasn't going to take another offer. The question of how much money, $175 a month, it's interesting. I went home and I had a grandfather who was 90 years old, and he more or less followed my career too. And he said, "You have a job?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "How much are you going to get?" I said, $175 a month. He says, "My God, there isn't that much money in the world." he was raised on a farm all his life. He came over from Germany.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother came over from that grandmother came over from Germany. They married here, and together they bought a farm, and they built the farm up, and they raised the farm, and their oldest son was running the farm, had the farm, and they were living with them.
Mm-hmm.
But he died shortly after I came. But I thought it was interesting. He said there wasn't that much money in the world, because they were used to the kind of pay. They used to get hired men. In the summer they would get something like $30-$35 a month in the summertime. In the wintertime they just get their keep. And this was to work on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't used to what you call big wages and big salaries, which have increased astronomically over the years.
So you must have felt... So what did you do with all your money?
You mean what I got?
Yeah. All of a sudden you were a rich young man.
Yeah. Well, I saved it.
You saved it?
3 years later I got married.
Uh-huh.
Now... You want to start on what I did with DuPont?
Yeah, sure. What do you remember? Do you remember your first day at work? A lot of people tend to remember that day.
Yeah, I think so. Kind of vaguely, but actually, the first day I came to work, I waited in Tenberg's office for a couple hours. A
couple of hours?
Because this was the summertime, July.
Uh-huh.
He had a place down on the shore.
Oh.
And so and this was a Monday morning, and he didn't get back a couple hours late. So he immediately took me and took up to Crothers' office. He says, "Here's your man." And so he turned me over to Crothers. And Crothers said, "Well," he says, "Dr. Tanbrick says that you're going to become part of my group." He says, "This is what we're working on. I'd like to have you read the stuff we've been doing." And he says, "As far as you're concerned, after you see what some of this is going on, we have one problem that we'd like to have you work on a little bit. He says, we've been making these long polymers, and when we put them under vacuum, under certain conditions, we get a small amount of a large ring compound.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do it at all consistently. And what I'd have, what I want you to do is find out how to do this consistently when you get at it. So, of course, I read what they've been doing and the kind of work they were doing and what they're working with. And so I got together with a glass blower and built a machine so I could regulate the heat and the vacuum and one thing or another in taking this polymer and trying to make a large ring. Now, the only reason for really doing that was a kind of vague. You had the knowledge that Staudinger had defined a large ring compound in as being giving off a musk odor, and that he identified the ring that did that. It came from sick whales or something like that. And so theoretically, if we could manufacture a 17 member ring, we should have stuff with musk odor. And they'd had some indication that this was true with the little stuff they had. So I made some polymer and put it in this equipment I'd built, that had it built, and put the vacuum on, and nothing much happened for 2-3 times. And in about third or fourth time I tried to do this, all of a sudden it started to spill over, and I got a fairly good amount of stuff over that was all the ring compound. And checking through what was doing it, I found out the vacuum had to be very, very good, below a certain amount. When you do that, then you worked on that and got the vacuum down, and it did it every time. And so now we knew how to make it. Now, this was only the carbonyl rings, and we're working on mostly the 10 carbon glycol carbonyl. That would give a 13 carbon ring. But what we're really after is 17. So then the next went and figured out a way to develop a 14 member glycol, and with the carbonyl, I made the carbonyl polymer for that, and put it under this vacuum, and also got this 17 member ring, and sure enough it had this musk odor, which I would expect. So immediately we went up and talked to our chem department.
Let me